and Sharon Mines on their 40th wedding anniversary. Their children gave them a big surprise today by being here to celebrate that 40th anniversary with them, and so we congratulate the two of you and your family and your children for doing that. When I was young, I had lots of dreams and lots of expectations and hopes for the future. And I have to say that the Lord has more than been gracious to me to see those to fruition. And now that I'm at the point in my life where I am, that all of my four daughters are now married to Christians, then I'm pretty happy. Just to be really honest with you, the Lord has been really good and gracious and kind to Janice and me, and I think about what I want to do with the rest of my life and what goals that I want to set. And I think that you should set goals in life. And I think that you should be reaching for something. And to be real honest with you, I've given it a considerable amount of thought. And my goal is that I want to become the person that God wants me to be before I die. The reason that he created me the way he did, I want to realize that potential that he put in me, whatever that may be. And like Paul, I feel like that, my race is not too far from being run, but I want to complete what the Lord has in mind. And I think he has something particular in mind for every one of us, and that's why he constructed you the way he did. He put you together exactly the way that you are because he had something, he designed you for something. And we're in the middle of a series of lessons I call Fundamentals of Christian Ministry. And we're examining the gifts that have been given individually to us by the Holy Spirit. Paul will write to Corinthian Christians, and he will say, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each person just as he has determined. And he will continue by saying in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians that all these gifts are to be used to strengthen the church. And then he will say, now to each man, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And I find that a really interesting way to develop the gifts that he's given us. Manifestation of the Spirit. How the Spirit chooses to reveal himself. Think about that just a moment. There are ways that God's Holy Spirit has chosen to reveal himself through you. And that is the utilization of the gifts that he has given to you. And we're seeking to find what our gifts are. The problem at the church in Corinth was that some of them had obvious gifts, particularly those that had the miraculous gifts, but they used them for their own glory, for their own benefit. Have you ever noticed that we as humans tend to glory in things that make us different from others? I mean, that's why we do and comb our hair and maybe color our hair or wear the clothes we do or whatever. Because we want to be just a little different. And we take pride in the things that make us different. And Paul will write to Corinthian Christians and he reminds them, he said, who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you didn't receive, implication, as a gift? And if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Why do you act like it's something you did? God is the one who made you different. God put you together. We all have gifts, not the same measure, not the same degree, not the same combination, but God gave them all, and he gave all of us gifts. And only when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit do they become spiritual gifts. Otherwise, they're just selfish gifts to be used for ourselves. I believe the Bible also teaches that as we use our gifts, God will give us more gifts. And conversely, whenever we refuse to use them to glorify God, he'll take them away. You remember the story of the five talent, two talent, and one talent man in Matthew chapter 25? You remember what order he gave to the man who refused to use that one talent that he had given him? He said, take the talent. He turned to those beside him and he said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and he'll have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside. It all has to do with whether or not you use the talents that God's given you. They come with ability and responsibility. And ignoring your gift or gifts doesn't absolve you of the responsibility that God's given you. And being afraid to use it neither absolves you of that responsibility. God did not give you those gifts to use for yourself. He gave them to you to benefit others. So, if you refuse to accept responsibility and utilize the gifts that God's given you, then you're robbing God and you're robbing your brother. It's not just about you, and it's not just about me. He puts you in this body because you have certain talents and abilities that he needs and wants to be used here, and God didn't give you the right to choose not to use them. Some of the gifts that we've been examining were temporary sign gifts or miraculous gifts. Now we're examining permanent edifying gifts. And our first group of gifts are the speaking gifts. They're the speaking gifts. We looked at 1 Peter. They're the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Last time we looked at prophets, and we're going to pick up with the word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For there is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom. The New International Version says the ability to speak with wisdom. To another, the ability to speak with knowledge by that same Spirit. This word, knowledge, let's talk about the word of knowledge. It's used in different forms in the New Testament over 300 times. The literal translation would say, to one he has given the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. And the term word means both that which is written and that which is spoken. So I'm not going to try to make a hard and fast distinction between the two, but I do believe he's primarily talking about the spoken word of wisdom and knowledge. And we're looking at knowledge. What is this gift of the ability to speak with knowledge? Well, it's a Spirit-given ability to observe biblical facts and make conclusions. In other words, the ability to understand even the deep teachings of the Bible. You ever heard someone speak on a passage of Scripture and say, I've read that over and over and over, and I never really did understand that. A person with this gift can take biblical truths and put them together and come up with insightful, beneficial conclusions. It's an extraordinary gift of biblical interpretation. Perhaps 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 will give us an insight into the benefit of that gift. It's used here in this context negatively, in order to emphasize the surpassing greatness of love. But he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, if we had a few minutes extra, I'd try to take time and tie those together. But just recognize that the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, and fathoming mysteries are really all closely related to one another. This is the gift of understanding the mysteries. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit has given to some, and it certainly is beneficial to others, isn't it? I had a good friend, who had one of maybe the most incredible mind of anybody I've ever known. We were driving one time really late at night. We had about a 9-hour drive, and it was up in the early morning hours, like 1 or 2 o'clock, and we had told all of our stories more than one time, and so we were both getting sleepy, and he was driving, I was trying to keep him awake, and whenever I drive, vice versa. Then in a little while, he said, Ken, get your Bible out and open it up any place and read a scripture. And let me see if I can't tell you the verse before that and the verse after that. And I said, you mean in the New Testament? He said, no, anywhere in the Bible. I said, Old Testament too? Yeah. Okay. So I opened my Bible, wherever it fell, and I read a verse. And he said, okay, that's in Ezekiel, the first three chapters, or so-and-so, chapters 3, 4, 5. That's in chapter 6. That's about the first 4 verses of that or this. Verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 4. The verse before that says, and he quoted it. The verse after that says, and he quoted it. He did that until I got tired. Made me sick. He never missed one. Now, I don't have that kind of mind. That's a blessing from the Lord. I can't imagine anything he did to develop that. I mean, he probably enhanced it, but it was there. I mean, somebody put that in him. You can't just come up with that. You can't just decide that you're going to do that and do that at that point in his life. And I'm really, really thankful for someone who has that kind of ability. But you know what passage I thought of when I was thinking about how to illustrate this gift? The one in Matthew 13 where Jesus had just finished teaching his disciples a series of parables. And he asked them if they'd understood this. And they said yes. And he said, well, a person, the teacher of the law, who's been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who goes in the storehouse and he brings out new treasures and he brings out old treasures. He's just able to bring these things out. And I'm glad that at least there are some who have this gift of knowledge who have taken the time to write it down. And then there's the word of wisdom, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. And the wisdom means insight into true nature of things. It's applied in numerous ways in the New Testament. It talks about God's wisdom, Christ's wisdom, and it talks about natural wisdom. And this gift differs from knowledge in this way. Wisdom, the gift of wisdom, is emphasis on the skill of application rather than the recalling of facts. It's the ability to draw out principles that can be practically applied to solve life's problems. The gift of wisdom. God's given that gift to certain people. For a preacher, it would include the gift of exposition. The ability to study and read the scriptures and out of that draw an application to life's problems and help to solve problems. It would certainly be invaluable for a Christian counselor to be able to do that, to have the gift of wisdom. Can you have the gift of knowledge without the gift of wisdom? Yes. Can you have the gift of wisdom without the gift of knowledge? Yes. But you have to have the knowledge made available to you. You don't have to have the gift of knowledge, but you have to have access to the knowledge. And in some cases, a person may, at least to some degree, have both gifts, and that person is particularly blessed by God to have the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. Frederick Godet, a Swiss theologian, said, knowledge makes the teacher, wisdom makes the preacher and pastor. I think there's some truth in that. The person with wisdom is the one you look to when you have a really serious problem in life. They know how to apply principles to your life to help you know how to deal with what you're dealing with. And by the way, where do we obtain wisdom? This is kind of neat. You remember James chapter 1, verse 5. James will ask the question, does any of you lack wisdom? Then let him ask of God who gives freely to all men, and he doesn't chastise you for asking. And so wisdom is such an important gift that God makes that particular gift available at least to some degree to everybody. If you want it, then he'll give it to you. And so I hope that you're praying for that gift. I hope that that's something that you desire in your life because it's an incredible thing to be able to benefit others. And then the gift of teaching, Romans chapter 12, verse 7, if it, speaking of your gift, is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. And it means to give instructions. It necessitates the ability to understand. You can't teach what you don't understand. So what is this gift of teaching? Well, let me say I've had some teachers in my life who didn't have the gift of teaching, haven't you? But not everyone who has this gift is officially recognized as a teacher either. There are some of the greatest teachers who are not, quote, officially recognized as teachers. This gift can be exercised in a variety of ways. Teaching is the ability to communicate to others so that they can receive it, understand it, and implement it in their life. That's what a teacher does. He takes you from where you are to where you need to be. And he has the The word carries with it the idea of systematically teaching or training. It's primarily to increase someone's understanding with the goal of applying it to our life. What are some settings where the gift of teacher is really needed? Well, with non-Christians, isn't it? With Christians, in order to mature us, in the home. Isn't that a great place where teachers are needed? By men, by women, by moms, by dads. Teaching. It's a gift from God. This gift belongs to more of us than perhaps we realize. And we use it in other settings. Why don't we use it in the church setting to help teach others? And then there's the gift of exhortation. This will be the last of the speaking gifts, Romans 12:8. If a man's gift is encouraging, let him encourage. And I like this word, and you do too. It's parakaleo. And para means alongside or beside. And the Greek word for call is kaleo, to call. So to call alongside is draws a word picture of someone coming up beside you very close, perhaps putting their arm around you to comfort you and to give you perhaps instruction, whatever is involved in exhortation. And a sister word to this is parabolo. We get the word parable, and the Greek word for throw is balo. We get the word ball from it. Parabolo. Throw beside or to throw alongside. If you have this teaching that you want to try to get across to someone, one of the most effective ways to do that is to throw a story alongside of it, a parable. That's what Jesus did. He had great truths he wanted to teach, and so he paraboloed, he threw a story alongside that truth to illustrate what that story was. And encouraging can be for one of two reasons. It can be that you come alongside somebody to admonish, to exhort, to urge somebody to pursue a particular course of conduct for the future. Perspective, looking to the future. And so you come alongside of them to encourage them. Luther said that teaching is directed at the ignorant, exhortation is directed to those who know better. Not bad. This is a person who sees something in someone else, maybe a fault, but more preferably a potential in someone else. And he comes alongside of them to persuade them and encourage them to change or pursue a particular course of action in their life. And I maintain that this is the greatest need in a young person's life. To have somebody that sees something in them and will take the time, energy, effort, money, whatever is involved, to come alongside of them and encourage them toward a certain course of action. You can change a young person's life by becoming involved in their life. And you will be an exhorter, an encourager. And then we come alongside also to comfort, to encourage someone in retrospect. Something that has happened in the past, something that they have already experienced in retrospect. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, the context is in the course of the Christian race, there's going to be some who will become discouraged and they'll want to quit. And they desperately need someone. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame will not be turned aside, but rather healed. You notice the connection between all these speaking gifts? They're really closely related. This is how God ministers to his body, by having people who have those gifts, who will utilize those gifts for the good of the body. Prophecy proclaims the truth. Knowledge comprehends the truth. Wisdom applies the truth. Teaching imparts the truth to someone else. And exhortation encourages others to obey the truth. They're all related to one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 5, So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Whether you like it or not, you belong to me. And I belong to you. And the gifts that you have, you owe God to use them for the kingdom. You don't have a right to disown those gifts. God gave them to you. And if you don't use them, God's going to take them away from you. He'll either take them away from you by losing the desire to use them, or the ability, one of the two. And if you don't use them, you will lose the ability, and you will very likely lose the desire over a period of time if you don't use them. Can you understand your Bible when you read it? Or can you, do you have the ability to sit down and communicate that with someone else? Can you see how the truth applies to your life and to the lives of others? Can you communicate that to someone? Can you encourage, can you sit down with someone that's discouraged and encourage